Father's Day. It's a special day. Amen? And as Buzz was reminding us this morning during Sabbath school, it's a day that's not just celebrated in the month of June one time. It falls in different weekends. In other countries, it's celebrated in other months. July, August, for example, in some countries, and all the way up to December. So I learned something today during our Sabbath school time, and praise the Lord that we can celebrate Father's Day every day. Amen? Do we all have a Heavenly Father who cares about us, who loves us, who desires to see us do well? As some of you know, I took some time off to be with my father and mother. I went to the city of Chico. How many of you know Chico, California? It's a hot place in the summer. Yes, and I hear it's cold in the winter. And they had the opportunity of just spending time with my parents and enjoying seeing them and talking to them. And I just want to share a few pictures. For those of you who don't know who my father is, I'm going to share some slides really quickly. Isai, if you could please put him up for us. My dad was born in a little town, city called Salina Cruz, Oaxaca. It's in the southern part of Mexico, about 12-hour drive from Mexico City, south of Mexico City. And it's a port, and it's known because it has an oil refinery there. So a lot of people go to that city to work. But it's actually a pretty small town. And my dad had the privilege of growing up there. And I just want to share a few slides for those of you who don't know who he is. All right, thank you. So that's my dad right there, and with a few of his siblings. And this is a church that is located in the town of Comitancillo, Oaxaca, where he was born. And so we were visiting some family members and had an opportunity to take a picture. Next slide, please. And there he is with his siblings, and that's... Sorry about that. So that's the Pacific Ocean right there. People who do surfing, they know a place called Puerto Escondido, which is only about an hour and a half south or north of Salina Cruz. Next slide, please. And there's Dad and Mom again. Now living in Chico, California. So I had the opportunity to spend some time with both of them. And this morning during our Sabbath school time, Buzz asked the men to share some characteristics of a father. And then he asked the women to also share some characteristics of a father. And I would like to share at this moment some characteristics, some expectations that I had from my father. If I ask the fathers who are here today, do your children have expectations of you? I saw some yeses, and I also saw some noes. Okay? And that's possible. That's possible. So there are some kids who might not have any expectation about their dad, but I had them. I had expectations. And one of those expectations was if my dad left home, he better be back that same day. Yes? And if he wasn't, I was worried. And I would ask, Mom, what's happening? And he might have told me at that time, he's on a trip or he's having to do work. And I know it's late, but he'll be back soon. But that was something that, as a kid growing up, I wanted my father to be there, to come back home, and to be part of everything that we did at home. Another expectation that I had as a kid growing up was I wanted my dad to be strong and courageous. Amen? I expected my dad to be there for me in case I had any issues with my friends or neighbors. Praise the Lord for fathers who are courageous and strong. Do fathers have to be courageous and strong today, brothers and sisters? They have to. There are a lot of things that are happening in our world, and they are called to a very high calling of being there for their families and defending them. I expected my father to know everything. If I had a question, I knew who was going to give me the answer. That was my dad. So I would come to him and say, "Dad, please share with me." Sometimes he had the answer. Sometimes he would say, "Samuel, what do you think about this situation?" And I was like, "Well, that's why I'm coming here. I want to know from you." But he would let me think about it and come up with a solution. And then he would say, "Oh, that sounds pretty good." And that was it. I expected my father to be honest and to be truthful, even if this meant to be vulnerable. Yes, I did see my father cry many times at home. And he wouldn't go and hide in a room because, you know, he was going to embarrass us. No, he would do it right in front of us. In fact, I saw him cry many times at church when he was preaching. And I would get a little uncomfortable. But he was showing that he cared. He was not afraid to hug us and to let us know that he was there for us and he wanted the best for us. And I think it was when I was in college, even though I had received all this love and care, it wasn't until I was in college that I told my father, "I love you, Dad." And he expressed it back and said, "I love you too." And that was powerful. That was important for me to hear that, that he loved me and that I loved him. I think I have two more expectations that I want to share with you this morning. I expected my father to be resourceful and provide for the needs of his family. I would come home as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old boy, and I would never even think of, "Hey, do you have enough money to buy X, Y, or Z?" I would come and there was the food. I would go into my closet. There was some clothes. "Hey, we had a roof over our head." It might have been a small roof, but it was a roof. Amen? And I saw my father provide for the needs of his family as best as he could. And we understand we live in a world where it's not always possible, but he did his best to help us have what we needed. I expected my father to be kind, gentle, and caring, and not just toward me and my sister and my mom, but if I invited my friends, I expected him to also be nice to them and talk to them and share with them. I expected my father to spend time with me. And probably this was the most challenging one. He was a pastor too at one point. He was also a teacher. And I believe his first year teaching at our school in Montemorelos, Mexico, the first year of theology students, that first year they had 100 students. And he was somebody who was going to give the test. He might have had somebody else grade the test, but he was going to go look through each one of those names and find out how the students were doing. And he was going to look at their research papers, and he was going to read each one of them and make remarks as to, "Hey, you could do this better." But I felt that even though he was super busy growing up, I could still come to his office sometimes and just say, knock and say, "Dad," and he was speaking with other students and telling them about how they were doing in school. And he would turn and look at me and says, "Well, what do you need?" And so I would come up to him and say, well, I need 10 pesos to buy this material for school. And he would look in his wallet and go, oh, here. And I could go back out. And I was happy. He was happy. And he made time. Or sometimes he was probably at church, and a church member would come, and I would look at him, and I knew, okay, he has to talk right now, and this is important, and so I can wait. But as soon as he was done, he would then say, hey, ready? You want to go home, or what's the situation? And he would make time for me. Do we have a Heavenly Father who has some of these characteristics and many more that the Bible tells us about? Incredible traits. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, my Father in no way is perfect. And in no way maybe fulfilled everything to the T. But he does know someone who is perfect. Amen? And he pointed me always to God as our Heavenly Father, who's there always, who is brave and courageous, who is eternal Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Mighty God. And he's there to defend you and defend me. Amen? He's there. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the movies or theaters or TV, big money is going in all these stories about superheroes. Have you noticed? And even we as an Adventist church, we had a hero portrayed. His name? Desmond Doss. And we think of these heroes as people who are just right there at the right moment. Amen? They have all these resources to help somebody who is in need. They are truthful. They tell you what you need to do. They have time. They're always traveling around the world. Yes? Finding someone to help. At least that's how they're portrayed. They have tons of time. But in no way do they come close to describing our Heavenly Father. Amen? There's an author that we've been studying. His name is Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Who describes God as a father. And as we read there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that's one of the places where that term is mentioned, eternal Father. But if we go to Isaiah chapter 1, in a more hidden way, he mentions this same concept. And if we go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken," and this is what God says about himself, "I have nourished and brought up children. I've raised up children." This could also be understood, I've carried my children. I've carried them for day and night and week and month and year. I've carried them. I've brought them up, yet they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. A God who is longing for his children to know him. A God who is longing to be there for each one of them. And yet, brothers and sisters, so sad that so many times we think there's a better way. We think we have the resources or the strength or the wisdom or the whatever it is to solve our own problems. Do we have that, brothers and sisters? If we do, or if you do, I would like to know what you have. But the Bible tells us there is a God who has that and more. Amen? And he's willing to give it to his children, like any father is willing to do his best and sacrifice all he has so that his children can move forward in life and do good. Isaiah chapter 63, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 63. It's a beautiful prophecy. A messianic prophecy. But we won't have time to read the entire chapter. But I do want to look at a few verses there in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. Where Isaiah mentions this God that he knows, this incredible being. And he says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Is that a characteristic of the Lord? His loving kindness, his faithfulness, and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. Yes, the Lord is a giving Father. He wants to bless his children. He wants to give beyond what we could ever ask. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Our Heavenly Father is merciful. Amen? He's kind. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. They'll be obedient. So he became their Savior. Not only is he a friend, not only is he the creator, but he also became their Savior. What caught my attention was verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Do you ever think nobody really cares about what's going on in your life? Do you ever feel like, you know, why even share this with anybody? Nobody really cares. It's easy to get lost in the crowd, yes? It's easy to think. And you might think this is something that only people in third world countries experience, or people only that are going through war-torn countries experience. Do people experience that here in the United States, brothers and sisters? Just last week, we heard two tragic stories of two very popular people who felt, why? But the Bible tells me that my troubles are God's troubles. Your troubles are his troubles. And he knows. He cares. He wants to do something about it. In fact, it says, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. God himself comes down as this angel and saves his children. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. All the days of old, Isaiah is reminding here the people of Israel what God had done for them in Egypt, how he had brought them out of bondage. But yet the children of Israel were now in a free land, in the promised land, Canaan, yet they were in bondage now to sin. Verse 10 tells us they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. But verse 11 tells us, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with a shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might stumble, that they might not stumble, as a beast goes down in the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest. So you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. God had been there for his children. He was the great shepherd. He was their great guide. He was the one who had provided for all of their needs. So Isaiah says in verse 16 the following, doubtless you are our Father. What does Isaiah say? God, you are our Father. Though Abraham, who we call Father, ignores us, or Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Amen? You will not forsake us. You will not forget us. You will be there to help us. Isaiah recognizes that God cared about him. Isaiah recognized that even though we all go through trials and tribulations, and Isaiah went through some very hard trials and tribulations. Think about being sawed in two. Manasseh, king of Judah, when he heard this message, do you think he liked it? He didn't like it. So he decided to get Isaiah and he put him in a log. And that's how he died. He sawed him in two. Isaiah knew that the people of God were far, far away from acknowledging who God was. They were in sin. They could not do otherwise. They were blind. They were trapped. Yet God loved them, amen? And wanted to get them out of that situation. Isaiah 15 tells us, look down from heaven and see from your habitation, holy and glorious, where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart and your mercies toward me? Are they restrained? That's verse 16, 15. And verse 17 says, O Lord, why have you made us stray from your ways and hardened our hearts from your fear? Return for your servant's sake, the tribes of your inheritance. Your holy people have possessed it, but a little while our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We have become like those of old over whom you never ruled, those who were never called by your name. The people of Israel had forgotten their father. Could it be, brothers and sisters, that many today have also forgotten who their heavenly Father is? Could it be that we live in a world kind of like Isaiah's time where we've even forgotten his name, who he is? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, is a reminder of who God is. In this prophecy, Isaiah knew that things were not looking good for the people of Israel. King Uzziah had died. Who would be next? And here God revealed to Isaiah his plan for his children. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Do we serve a wonderful God, brothers and sisters? An amazing God who can do amazing things, marvelous things. His name will be Counselor. Do we serve a God who can give us insight as to what we need to do at specific moments in time, who's willing to share with us the truth about this world and where it's going? Mighty God, mighty warrior, everlasting Father. Any of you think of this? My dad's father was born in 1896. I was 2 years old, I think, when I met him for the first time. I saw him, I think, one more time when I was 3 or 4, because he came to visit us here in the United States. But when I was like 5 or 6, he passed away. It was 77, so I was like 4 or 5. My mom's father, great man, passed away 2 years ago. But God tells us he is everlasting. Amen? He will be there. He will stand by your side, by my side. He will not forsake us. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen? He can bring peace into any situation. Do you believe that? He can, if we let him. I'll ask a rhetorical question here. Don't have to raise your hand. If you had a father, did you love him? Did he love you? If you still have a father, do you love him? Does he love you? One of the experiences that I treasure, nothing big, but I keep it, was when my father invited me to go see a house we were building. This was about half a mile away from where we were living. This was in the city of Monte Morelos, and my parents, for the first time, were owning a home. They had never owned a home before. We had always rented, and this time my dad and mom said, we're going to do an effort, and we should build something for the future, and so they started putting this building together, this house together. I must have been 7, 8 years old. And it was a 7-year project. Funds were limited, so it took a lot of time to see it from beginning to end. But finally, we had the opportunity of living in it, enjoying it, and it helped later on with my sister's schooling and my schooling. So it was a good investment that my parents did back then. But I remember my dad saying, Sam, let's go and let's visit. Stand back here. Let's visit the construction site. And so I said, yeah, Dad, let's go. And we're going to go walking, okay? So we got our things together and we started walking. Half a mile away, wasn't too far. It was a very hot, humid day, and took my dog along, and we was like, yeah, we're going to go and see this, and we'll be back, Mom, and don't worry, we'll be back soon. So left, and as we got closer to the house, I did notice, hey, it's getting darker and darker, and I didn't think much about it. When we were inside, we're looking at, you know, this construction site, no windows, no doors, no plumbing, but okay, this is the house. And I was trying to understand all the things that were happening in there. And then I started to hear drip, 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 drip. And the wind started to blow. And the clouds got darker and darker. And then at the distance, you would hear thunder. And it got stronger and stronger. Then it started, brothers and sisters, to pour. And I was like, wow, what are we going to do? We're half a mile away. No car. We're walking. No cell phones to talk to. Mom, let her know what's going on. So we're watching, and just it got worse. And it was getting late. My dad didn't want to worry Mom. So he said something I didn't think he was ever going to say. He's like, you know, Sam, we should get back home. And I go, under the rain? He says, yeah, under the rain. We'll just walk back home. I thought, okay. And we were heading back home. It had rained so hard that the streets were flooded. So water was almost up to my knees. The little dog that I had was swimming. And even though there were thunder and rain and wind, brothers and sisters, I wasn't afraid at all. In fact, I was enjoying it. And the reason why I was enjoying it is because my father was there. He was beside me. I didn't have anything to worry about. He would figure it out. If something happened, I know he would figure it out. I was sure he would figure it out. And brothers and sisters, if we can trust our earthly fathers, shouldn't we be trusting our heavenly Father, who can do so much more? Who can help us, really help us, with whatever situation you are going through? He's standing right next to you. Even though you feel like the water is reaching up to your neck, he's standing right next to you. Even though you feel the wind blowing in your face, he's standing right next to you. Even though you hear the thunder and you see the lightning, he's standing right next to you. He is. And the only thing he wants is for you to know him, to acknowledge who he is. Wonderful. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Our Redeemer. Our Friend. And so much more. Amen. I would like to invite the congregation to stand to sing our last hymn, beautiful hymn, hymn number 21, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Accessible, hid from our eyes, most
blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege to call you Father. What a privilege to know you, to speak to you. And Father, I ask for forgiveness for not making the time to know you, to ask you, to expect of you great things like we do of our earthly parents. And Father, I pray that as you continue to reveal yourself through the amazing book of nature and the precise and truthful word of the Holy Scriptures, and above all through Jesus Christ our Savior, may we learn to trust you. May we learn to love you. May we learn to walk with you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.